think most of you know that we've been up in Glasgow this week. I didn't realise that one could get so excited about visiting a cemetery. I don't normally get excited about visiting cemeteries, but whilst we were visiting Glasgow Cathedral, I witnessed, just in front of the cathedral, David Livingstone's grave. Great missionary to Africa. My wife from Zimbabwe tells me that he was the man, from this part of the world anyway, that discovered Victoria Falls. And then we went up the hill onto what they call the necropolis, if I got that right. And there was this great big memorial. It towered above all the other memorials. And I thought, well, I want to go and see who that's been built in memory of. And I discovered that it was John Knox's memorial. And I got very excited about that. In fact, I've got a picture at home with me pointing to his name. If you don't know who John Knox is, he was wonderfully used by God. Not only on mainland Europe, but particularly in Scotland. And I would argue that God used John Knox perhaps more than any other Scottish person to make it the country it is. Anyway, it was a joy to see both of those memorials. But that said, let's turn to 1 Peter and chapter 1. You're already there. I'm still in need of finding it. As Laurie has said, my intention is not to speak for very long this evening. It's really a devotional thought rather than a sermon. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting to read at verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. We've been looking at 1 Peter on the Sunday evening, and we have noted how that Peter speaks of our salvation that is to be revealed at the end of time when Jesus comes again. And we have great hope, don't we, regarding the coming again of our Lord Jesus, though we find ourselves having to wait patiently for that day. But waiting patiently doesn't mean living idly. God doesn't want us to be sitting around looking up into the sky waiting for Jesus to return. No, he wants us to be busy. He wants us to be actively engaged in doing certain things. And last week we saw how we are to pursue holiness. God's word to us is this: be holy as I am holy. But this evening, Peter moves on to express another thought. This idea of growing in love towards one another. But how can we love one another? You see, by nature, we are really selfish people. And we can't love God and one another. How then can we love one another? Well, these verses provide the answer. We can love one another because we have been converted. Or to put it another way, we can love one another because we have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. We can love God and we can love one another because we've received new life. Because God has wonderfully planted within us this ability to love. Indeed, loving one another, as John tells us, is evidence of passing from death to life. He writes, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in them." And my prayer is that as a local church, that we would demonstrate a real love for one another to a watching world. During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups to unite so that he could control them. Among the Brethren assemblies, half complied and half refused. Those who went along with the order had a much easier time. Those who did not faced harsh persecution. In almost every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. When the war was over, feelings of bitterness ran deep between the groups and there was much tension. Finally, they decided that the situation had to be healed. Leaders from each group met at a quiet retreat. For several days, each person spent time in prayer, examining his own heart in the light of Christ's commands. Then they came together. Francis Schaeffer, who told of the incident, asked a friend who was there, "What did you do then?" "We were just one," he replied. As they confessed their hostility and bitterness to God and yielded to his control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among them. Love filled their hearts and dissolved their hatred. When love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true follower of Christ Jesus. How are we to love one another? Well, let me pick out two words that Peter uses in these verses that we're looking at this evening. Sincerely and deeply. Firstly, then, we are to love sincerely. Verse 22, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other." Is it possible for us to love insincerely? You might want a moment or two to think about that. Is it possible for us to love insincerely? I don't think that it is. I'm mindful that there are people who put on a show of love, but really they don't love the people that they are putting on the show to. In Psalm 55 we read, "His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. We are to be a people who love sincerely. Our love is to be real, it is to be genuine. And I think that when we love one another, there is something very attractive about us. Years ago, a shabbily dressed boy trudged several miles through the snowy streets of Chicago, determined to attend a Bible class that was conducted by D.L. Moody. When he arrived, he was asked, "Why did you come to a Sunday school so far away? Why didn't you go to one of the churches near your home?" And he answered simply, "Because you love a fellow over here." And I think it's a loving church that is an attractive church. Firstly, we are to love sincerely, but secondly, we are to love deeply. Verse 22 again. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." Peter says the same thing over in chapter 4 and verse 8. He writes there, "above all." I find those two words interesting. This is obviously a very important matter. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." It might be that it would be best if, rather than reading deeply, it read earnestly. You see, the idea being conveyed here is that of exerting oneself to demonstrate yet more love towards others. Of course, we know that love is much more than a feeling. Love is really an act of the will. We love our children, and so we feed them. We love our spouses, and so we pray for them. We love one another, and so we seek to encourage and support one another in our walk with the Lord. And interestingly, I believe we will find ourselves loving one another more as we actively seek to love one another. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. If you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less." I think I agree with that. I'm sure that has been our experience. As we have sacrificially served someone in some particular way, we have found ourselves loving them more. But if we withdraw from our brothers and sisters, living on the edge, we might say, of the church, not really acting in love towards anyone else, we may find ourselves having a hard heart towards others rather than a soft, loving heart. What is the extent to which we are to love others? Well, Jesus has set the standard, hasn't he? John 13 verses 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That is such a challenging verse, isn't it? He doesn't just tell us to love one another, he tells us to love one another as he has loved us. And as we've been reminded this evening by Laurie, as we've shared in the bread and the wine, Jesus gave his life for us. We are to be willing to lay down, yes, even our lives for one another. Sadly, sometimes, though, our lives can be a mixture, can they not, of love and hatred, if we're honest. But God wants to see a pure, unadulterated love being expressed by us. And perhaps that means for us this evening that there are certain things that we need to work hard at getting rid of. I was going to comment on these, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep it short, as I promised, and Laurie said I would. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. You know, Peter said to me this morning that he found that he was really challenged by Proverbs and chapter 2. I think it's good that the preacher finds himself challenged, first of all. And I often find that I'm challenged by a passage before I preach it on a Sunday. And certainly I found it challenging looking at these verses this week. We are to love one another sincerely and deeply from the heart. We often talk a lot about growing in our understanding of the things of God. It's right and proper that we should talk about that. We often talk about growing in Christ-likeness, growing in holiness. But I wonder how often we talk about growing in our love for one another. Love one another deeply and sincerely. I wonder, have we grown in our love for one another this year? Now, maybe we just want to stop and think about that for a moment. Because I think probably more than anything else, that is what God desires. Above all, love one another deeply. It's not always easy, is it? You know, we are a family, and sometimes families have disagreements. Sometimes we don't always find it that easy to get on with one another. But we are to work hard. We are to pursue this matter of loving one another deeply. Can I encourage us to go home this evening and to pray about that and to give thought to that? How can we love one another more? Let's pray together and then we'll sing our final hymn. Lord, we want to thank you for our time together this evening. We thank you for your word to us just now. And we pray that our love for you, first of all, and for one another, might indeed be a sincere love, and that it might be one that goes deep. Lord, we've probably all got a lot of work to do in this regard. So help us, we pray. Guard us against selfishness. We're living in a world where people are extremely selfish. Sometimes people don't even ask us really how we are. They're not interested. Help us to be concerned about one another. And to actively help one another where we can. We can't do everything. We can't meet all the needs in the world. We can't meet all the needs in the church. But we pray that you would move us as a people and help us to be the kind of people that you would have us be. Well, there is surely love being demonstrated in this local church because it's made up of people that are born again. And we are no doubt giving evidence of loving you and loving one another. But we pray that it would go deeper, much, much deeper. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.